Chapter 9. Black are the brooding clouds, and trouble the deep waters, when the sea of thought, first heaving from a calm, gives up its stead. Monsters uncouth and wild, arise in premature, imperfect resurrection. The several parts and shapes of different things, are joined and mixed by chance. And when, and how, and by what wonderful degrees, each separates from each, and every sense and object of the mind resumes its usual form and lives again. Though every man is every day the casket of this type of the great mystery can tell. So, when and how the darkness of the night black steeple changed to shining light, when and how the solitary tower was peopled with a myriad figures, when and how the whispered haunt and hunt him, apostrophe breathing monotonously through his sleeper swoon, became a voice exclaiming in the waking ears of Trotty, break his slumbers. Apostrophe when and how he ceased to have a sluggish and confused idea that such things were, companioning a host of others that were not, there are no dates or means to tell. But, awake and standing on his feet upon the boards, where he had lately lain, he saw this goblin sight. He saw the tower, whither his charmed footsteps had brought him, swarming with dwarf phantoms, spirits, elfin creatures of the bells. He saw them leaping, flying, dropping, pouring from the bells without a pause. He saw them, round him on the ground, above him, in the air, clambering from him, by the ropes below, looking down upon him, from the massive iron-girded beams, peeping in upon him, through the chinks and loopholes in the walls, spreading away and away from him in enlarging circles, as the water ripples give way to a huge stone, that suddenly comes plashing in among them. He saw them, of all aspects and all shapes. He saw them ugly, handsome, crippled, exquisitely formed. He saw them young, he saw them old, he saw them kind, he saw them cruel, he saw them merry, he saw them grim, he saw them dance, and heard them sing, he saw them tear their hair, and heard them howl. He saw the air thick with them. He saw them come and go, incessantly. He saw them riding downward, soaring upward, sailing off afar, perching near at hand, all restless and all violently active. Stone, and brick, and slate, and tile, became transparent to him as to them. He saw them in the houses, busy at the sleepers' beds. He saw them soothing people in their dreams. He saw them beating them with knotted whips. He saw them yelling in their ears. He saw them playing softest music on their pillows. He saw them cheering some with the songs of birds and the perfume of flowers. He saw them flashing awful faces on the troubled rest of others, from enchanted mirrors which they carried in their hands. He saw these creatures, not only among sleeping men but waking also, active in pursuits irreconcilable with one another, and possessing or assuming natures the most opposite. He saw one buckling on innumerable wings to increase his speed, another loading himself with chains and weights, to retard his. He saw some putting the hands of clocks forward, some putting the hands of clocks backward, some endeavoring to stop the clock entirely. He saw them representing, here a marriage ceremony, there a funeral, in this chamber an election, in that a ball he saw, everywhere, restless and untiring motion. Bewildered by the host of shifting and extraordinary figures, as well as by the uproar of the bells, which all this while were ringing, Trotty clung to a wooden pillar for support, and turned his white face here and there, in mute and stunned astonishment. As he gazed, the chimes stopped. Instantaneous change. The whole swarm fainted. Their forms collapsed, their speed deserted them. They sought to fly, but in the act of falling died and melted into air. No fresh supply succeeded them. One straggler leaped down pretty briskly from the surface of the great bell, and alighted on his feet, but he was dead, and gone before he could turn round. Some few of the late company who had gambled in the tower, remained there, spinning over and over a little longer, but these became at every turn more faint, and few, and feeble, and soon went the way of the rest. The last of all was one small hunchback, who had got into an echoing corner, where he twirled and twirled, and floated by himself a long time, showing such perseverance that at last he dwindled to a leg, and even to a foot, before he finally retired. But he vanished in the end, and then the tower was silent. Then and not before, did Trotty see in every belly-bearded figure of the bulk and stature of the bell incomprehensibly, a figure and the bell itself. Gigantic, grave, and darkly watchful of him, as he stood rooted to the ground. Mysterious and awful figures, resting on nothing, poised in the night air of the tower, with their draped and hooded heads merged in the dim roof, motionless and shadowy. Shadowy and dark, although he saw them by some light belonging to themselves, none else was there, each with its muffled hand upon its goblin mouth. He could not plunge down wildly through the opening in the floor, for all power of motion had deserted him. Otherwise he would have done so, I would have thrown himself, feet foremost, from the steeple top, rather than have seen them watching him with eyes that would have waked and watched, although the pupils had been taken out. Again, again, the dread and terror of the lonely place, and of the wild and fearful night that reigned there, touched him like a spectral hand. His distance from all help, the long, dark, winding, ghost-beleaguered way that lay between him and the earth on which men lived, his being high, 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 up there, where it had made him dizzy to see the birds fly in the day, cut off from all good people, who at such an hour were safe at home and sleeping in their beds. All this struck coldly through him, not as a reflection, but a bodily sensation. Meantime his eyes and thoughts and fears were fixed upon the watchful figures, which, rendered unlike any figures of this world by the deep gloom and shade enwrapping and enfolding them, as well as by their looks and forms and supernatural hovering above the floor, were nevertheless as plainly to be seen as were the stalwart oaken frames, cross pieces, bars, and beams set up there to support the bells. These hemmed them, in a very forest of hewn timber, from the entanglements, intricacies, and depths of which, as from among the boughs of a dead wood blighted for their phantom use, they kept their darksome and unwinking watch. A blast of air, how cold and shrill, came moaning through the tower. As it died away, the great bell, or the goblin of the great bell, spoke. "What visitor is this?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," it said. The voice was low and deep, and Trotty fancied that it sounded in the other figures as well. "I thought my name was called by the chimes." "Apostrophe, apostrophe," said Trotty, raising his hands in an attitude of supplication. "I hardly know why I am here, or how I came. I have listened to the chimes these many years. They have cheered me often." "Apostrophe, and you have thanked them?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," said the bell. "A thousand times." "Apostrophe, apostrophe," cried Trotty. "How?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am a poor man." "Apostrophe," faltered Trotty, and could only thank them in words. "Apostrophe, and always so?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," inquired the goblin of the bell. "Have you never done us wrong in words?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe, no." "Apostrophe, apostrophe," cried Trotty eagerly. "Never done us foul, and false, and wicked wrong, in words?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," pursued the goblin of the bell. Trotty was about to answer, "Never." "Apostrophe, apostrophe," but he stopped, and was confused. "The voice of time, apostrophe," said the phantom, "cries to man, advance. Time is for his advancement and improvement, for his greater worth, his greater happiness, his better life, his progress onward to that goal within its knowledge and its view, and set there, in the period when time and he began. Ages of darkness, wickedness, and violence, have come and gone, millions uncountable, have suffered, lived, and died to point the way before him. Who seeks to turn him back, or stay him on his course, arrests a mighty engine which will strike the meddler dead, and be the fiercer and the wilder, ever, for its momentary check." "Apostrophe, apostrophe, I never did so to my knowledge, sir," apostrophe said Trotty. "It was quite by accident if I did. I wouldn't go to do it, I'm sure." apostrophe, who puts into the mouth of time, or of its servants, apostrophe, said the goblin of the bell, a cry of lamentation for days which have had their trial and their failure, and have left deep traces of it which the blind may see, a cry that only serves the present time, by showing men how much it needs their help, when any ears can listen to regrets for such a past who does this, does a wrong. And you have done that wrong, to us, the chimes. Apostrophe, Trotty's first excess of fear was gone. But he had felt tenderly and gratefully towards the bells, as you have seen, and when he heard himself arraigned as one who had offended them so weightily, his heart was touched with penitence and grief. If you knew, apostrophe, said Trotty, clasping his hands earnestly, or perhaps you do know, if you know how often you have kept me company, how often you have cheered me up when I've been low, how you were quite the plaything of my little daughter Meg, almost the only one she ever had, when first her mother died, and she and me were left alone, you won't bear malice for a hasty word. Apostrophe, apostrophe, who hears in us, the chimes, one note bespeaking disregard, or stern regard, of any hope, or joy, or pain, or sorrow, of the many sorrowed throng, who hears us make response to any creed, that gauges human passions and affections, as it gauges the amount of miserable food on which humanity may pine and wither, does us wrong. That wrong you have done us. Apostrophe, said the bell. I have. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Trotty. Oh, forgive me. Apostrophe, who hears us echo the dull vermin of the earth, the putters down of crushed and broken natures, formed to be raised up higher than such maggots of the time can crawl or can conceive, apostrophe, pursued the goblin of the bell, who does so, does us wrong. And you have done us wrong. Apostrophe, apostrophe, not meaning it, apostrophe, said Trotty. In my ignorance. Not meaning it. Apostrophe, lastly, and most of all, apostrophe, pursued the bell, who turns his back upon the fallen and disfigured of his kind, abandons them as vile, and does not trace, and track with pitying eyes the unfenced precipice by which they fell from good grasping in their falsome tufts, and shreds of that lost soil, and clinging to them still, when bruised and dying in the gulf below, does wrong to heaven and man, to time and to eternity. And you have done that wrong. Apostrophe, spare me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Trotty, falling on his knees, for mercy's sake. Apostrophe, listen. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the shadow. Listen. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the other shadows. Listen. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said a clear and childlike voice, which Trotty thought he recognized as having heard before. The organ sounded faintly in the church below. Swelling by degrees, the melody ascended to the roof, and filled the choir and nave. Expanding more and more, it rose up, 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 higher, higher, higher up, awakening agitated hearts within the burly piles of oak. The hollow bells, the iron-bound doors, the stairs of solid stone, until the tower walls were insufficient to contain it, and it soared into the sky. No wonder that an old man's breast could not contain a sound so vast and mighty. It broke from that weak prison in a rush of tears, and Trotty put his hands before his face. Listen. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the shadow. Listen. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the other shadows. Listen. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the child's voice. A solemn strain of blended voices rose into the tower. It was a very low and mournful strain, a dirge, and as he listened, Trotty heard his child among the singers. She is dead. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed the old man. Meg is dead. Her spirit calls to me. I hear it. Apostrophe, the spirit of your child bewails the dead, and mingles with the dead, dead hopes, dead fancies, dead imaginings of youth. Apostrophe, returned the bell, but she is living. Learn from her life, a living truth. Learn from the creature dearest to your heart, how bad the bad are born. See every bud and leaf plucked one by one from off the fairest stem, and know how bare and wretched it may be. Follow her. To desperation. apostrophe, each of the shadowy figures stretched its right arm forth and pointed downward. The spirit of the chimes is your companion, apostrophe, said the figure. Go. It stands behind you. Apostrophe, Trotty turned and saw the child. The child Will Fern had carried in the street, the child whom Meg had watched, but now, asleep. I carried her myself, tonight, apostrophe, said Trotty. In his arms. Apostrophe, show him what he calls himself, apostrophe, said the dark figures, one and all. The tower opened at his feet. He looked down, and beheld his own form, lying at the bottom, on the outside. Crushed and motionless. No more a living man. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Trotty. Dead. Apostrophe, dead. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the figures all together. Gracious heaven! And the new year, apostrophe, passed, apostrophe, said the figures. What? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he cried, shuddering. I missed my way, and coming on the outside of this tower in the dark, fell down a year ago? Apostrophe, apostrophe, 9 years ago. Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied the figures. As they gave the answer, they recalled their outstretched hands, and where their figures had been, there the bells were. And they rung, their time being come again. And once again, vast multitudes of phantoms sprung into existence, once again, were incoherently engaged, as they had been before, once again, faded on the stopping of the chimes, and dwindled into nothing. What are these? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he asked his guide. If I am not mad, what are these? Apostrophe, apostrophe, spirits of the bells. Their sound upon the air, apostrophe, returned the child. They take such shapes and occupations as the hopes and thoughts of mortals, and the recollections they have stored up, give them. Apostrophe, anew, apostrophe, said Trotty wildly. What are you? Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.